Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 242 for April 5th, 2010. The Earth Moved. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. To download two free audiobooks of your choice, go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter at audible_com. And by GoToMeeting. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting instead. For your free 30-day trial, visit gotomeeting.com/twit. And by squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/twit. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers everything you'd like to know in the week's technology news, which this week is pretty much down to iPad, iPad, iPad. Joining us to converse about this stellar, stunning, scintillating topic, Jason iPad Calacanis from Mahalo.com.
Well, hello. How are you guys doing?
How are you? I'm here with my solid gold iPad.
Yes, I've had it plated in platinum. You can't hit any of the buttons anymore, but it looks good.
Who needs to hit the buttons? Absolutely. Robert Scoble, who is playing his spiral piano. That's another one of those apps from the Ocarina fellas, right?
Shmuel.
And for a first time, and I'm really glad to have her, Jeannie Jardin of BoingBoing.net. It's good to see you, Jeannie.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, stop!
I couldn't hear you. I was optimizing our iPad edition.
We're only allowed to have people who have iPads on the show today. Actually, we were going to get Cory Doctorow on, and maybe we will get Cory on next week because
you should.
He has a pretty strong case against the iPad, which we'll talk about in a second. But we have a bit of business we've got to take care of before we do that. A couple of weeks ago, Kevin Rose was on the show, and we were talking about Conan O'Brien and how he had picked a random Twitter follower, a random Twitter person to follow. He hadn't followed anybody, I guess. And so we thought, oh, we'll do the same thing. It'd be kind of fun. So we followed a woman named Lisa Tickled Pink. She had just started her Twitter account. In fact, the way Kevin found her, he did a search for I Hate Technology. And she showed up. He'd just been in New Zealand. So he thought, oh, this is great. She's in Auckland, New Zealand. She hates technology. She just joined Twitter. She has no followers. So 3 weeks later, she now has 30,462 followers, and I have a guilty conscience because the poor woman didn't have any idea. We didn't warn her. We didn't ask her permission. We just swarmed her. Now, the good news is she's very happy about it. In fact, Lisa's going to be joining us a little later on in the show to talk about her experience going from zero to 30,000 in 3 weeks. We are going to give her an iPad as kind of a little bit of a payment for her trouble, and because you can't get one in New Zealand. So we've got one. The box is right here. All packaged up to ship to her. But we, you know, we had something happen at the factory. And we accidentally got an extra one. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to give one of these to a random follower of Lisa. So, Jason, now you have perfected this giving stuff to random followers thing.
Absolutely, I have. We can just go to that site I talked about.
Yeah, let me do. I could do that. We'll do it on camera. But you know, just before we do, we're gonna just see what is the current number of followers now. It's 30,701 followers. So from that, we're going to pick a random. So what do you just put her? You just put Lisa Tickled Pink in here, right?
Correct.
This is twitrand.com, and I'm going to pick from her followers, and we will get a random follower, and that person is going to win a 16-gigabyte iPad. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Error loading Twitter data. Please check your username.
Sounds to me like when you put out the URL,
I believe
1,000 Twit fans
I
just jammed the site up.
Well, let's try that one more time. Yeah, we broke it. Okay, we'll do this later in the show.
I could also pick one of the random followers on our list.
Do you have another program that you use to do this? I mean, the thing is, we got to vet it because we got to make sure it's really it's truly a random number generator.
There is a Twitter. There is a random number generator. I think it's random.org.
Yeah, I could just use that, huh?
Yeah. So what I could do is we could pull up her
and just pick
follower list and see how many pages of it there are.
We'll
put
save.
In that number and then.
Yeah. Or I could just shoot myself now. Let's we'll do this. We'll just do this later. Do you have something on your iPad, Robert Scoble, that will do this automatically? What is that?
No.
Oh, you're playing that game.
I'm crashing.
Yeah, because you're doing it backwards. All right. So today was the day Saturday was the day the iPad came out. Did anybody wait in line or did you all do the, well, first of all, Jenny, I know you didn't wait in line because you got one ahead of time. Uh-oh. You're muted. You're muted, Jenny. Push your button. There you go. No? Hello?
Here we go. How's that?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, got one a little bit ahead of time. I actually wanted to go wait in line with the rest of our people, but was a little too tired from all the TV stuff that was happening.
You were
Friday.
On every station in the world showing that.
It was ridiculous. It was like I was Justin Bieber for a day.
Yeah. Yeah, you had Willy Wonka's golden ticket. You had
exactly.
One of, a few hundred iPads out there. Jason, you had an iPad months ago, but it was a different, yeah. I think a different model.
I had the 2.0 model with the solar power, the two cameras, and the virtual reality augmented Skype. But yeah, it's a different version. You'll see that in about a year from now. He usually puts it out a year later. Shani, give us the background.
Yeah, she's had it for the longest.
How on earth did you wind up getting one? Did you get contacted by Steve himself or by PR? Did you request it?
The first rule of iPad is that you don't talk about iPad.
Yeah, you probably have to sign some papers, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Not anymore, though. Right? You're out of a non-disclosure?
How does it
go
down?
Do you give Mossberg and Pogue this kind of third degree? Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Like, we can't get Mossberg on the show, but we've talked to Kara about it, and we've certainly...
In broad strokes.
And then certainly talk to David.
The people managing iPad launch reached out to a number of reviewers. I don't know why I was on the list of reviewers, but I was there.
Had you been on that list before? Had you gotten advanced copies before?
Sure.
Okay. So that's why. Boing Boing is why. You're a powerful journalist.
We have more than a dozen unique viewers per month.
Yeah. that'll do it.
So how long before the... launch, do they contact you and say, hey, you're a candidate for this? And how long did you have it? Like 2 days or 2 weeks?
About a week ahead of time. Long enough to not let the device part from my hands day or night and get a real good sense of how I might use that and how other people in my life would be likely to use it.
Annie Anatko, who does Mac Break Weekly with us and writes for the Chicago Sun-Times, also got one ahead of time. And he says he went to New York City to pick it up. And, of course, you sign extensive NDAs, and one of the things, you cannot let anybody see it. And so he's got it in his backpack. He's on the train back to Boston. He's talking about this on the show. And he said, this is the hardest thing I ever did. I've got a two-hour train ride, and I've got an iPad, and I can't use it.
It was pretty excruciating.
I bet it was. I bet it was. So they populate it with apps, I'm sure.
Yeah, with some of the few iPad-ready apps that were available a week out, and as if memory serves here, I'm just looking down now. So the Reuters News app, Epicurious, the Marvel Comics app, The Elements, some of those ended up being my favorite. But, it was kind of magical, like on Friday evening, to see the iPad section of the App Store populate with tons and tons and tons of new apps, like... I mentioned that Starwalk app on Rachel Maddow's show Friday night. That, for me, maybe it's because, I love science, I love astronomy, but between that and The Elements, I can think of no stronger case for why this device and why others like it are really kind of a compelling hint into the future.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed was how much nicer the native iPad apps look. I mean, it's as if people said... Yeah. Oh, we've got to make this look great because it's on the screen. And there's just, even the ones that were just Universal Apps upgraded really look much nicer.
It was fun going back to some of the iPhone apps and even just going back to your iPhone after that.
Right.
It's like everything shrunk.
The iPhone does seem almost too small to use now. I mean,
really, it's like going from a 9-inch TV to a 50-inch TV. Just that alone is a big qualitative and quantitative difference. I don't know enough about the details yet, but it also feels like they really jacked up the sensitivity on the touchscreen as well. There's fewer sort of missed swipes, missed taps.
Right.
Again, the difference is really more than the sum of the individual parts, it seems.
It really is a gorgeous screen. It's very responsive. I think that's one of the first things that you see when you, a lot of people who didn't like the idea of the iPad, then hold it, and the responsiveness and the speed of it kind of wins you over very quickly.
It does.
Now, your colleague Cory Doctorow on Boing Boing wrote a blog post right before the iPad came out saying why I won't get an iPad and why you shouldn't either. And one of the things he mentioned, in fact, I'm looking at the Marvel comic book app right now, is that he loves comic books, and this is exactly the antithesis of what he thinks makes the comic book culture so great. You can get a great comic book, it looks great on here, but you can't share it, you can't sell it. You know, you got the only copy of this particular comic book. You lose all, it's copy protected.
Well, I'm not here to, uphold or debate the points in Corey's editorial.
No, he speaks well for himself.
He's very capable of doing that. But, in that one instance, I would say, consider the fact that Apple did not make that app. Marvel made that app. And what you're looking at there has to do with Marvel and with Disney and with the other people involved in rights issues with the content that they distribute. Apple did not require them to wrap their content in DRM or make it impossible for you to share that. That's not a function of the device.
Right. Well, in fact, I was thrilled to see that they put the Kindle app on here.
Yeah, and, away, too, Friday night, like right around 6.
And Amazon updated it to be iPad-specific, and frankly, it is, I would say, as good a reading experience as the native iBook app.
Sure. And some of the limitations that people have pointed out with the iBooks app, which is a delight in terms of usability, the fact that I think you can't, just some of the issues that Corey raised, some things are different in the Kindle app. So you have some freedoms with Kindle that you don't with iBooks. It's the device itself doesn't impose those restrictions. It has to do with the apps and the content arrangements that lie on it.
You know, I think one of the things, I'd love to hear, Jason and Robert, your thoughts on this. One of the things a lot of people were critical of the iPad before it came out, comparing it to a computer, saying, well, you can get a half-price netbook that has cameras and multitasking and flash support and does everything that iPad does and more. And it strikes me now, having used the iPad for a couple of days, that that's not the comparison. That really, a more apt comparison would be to compare an iPad to, say, a television set, a content consumption device. And if you compare it at that level, then the price and the capabilities are, it's like a 21st century TV set to me.
Yeah, or compared to Xbox or PlayStation, which are they're somewhat interactive, but you can't create your own video game on an Xbox really easily unless you're, a hardcore game company.
So my thought was, it's okay. They coexist, right? It's not a zero-sum game. You can have both an iPad and a computer.
Right. What do you think about that, Patrick? Because you talked to me about that the iPad feels different than your MacBook.
Yeah, it does. As soon as you put it in your hands, you really get sort of engrossed in it. You want to use it, which is kind of interesting. It's a different feel than a laptop, but I think it's comparable. I think you could compare it to a laptop depending on what you use it for. If you're not a hardcore computer user, I think this could serve you just as well as
most people use, email and surf the web. And if that's your usage pattern, this thing does really well. Now, if you are like me and Dave Weiner and you create content and do videos and you want to get into Photoshop and you want to, maybe get into Second Life and play around and create things, this falls apart.
But you can still do that. Nobody's saying you can't do that. You just can't do it with this device any more than you could do it with an Xbox 360 or a television set. I thought it was interesting. Dave Weiner almost immediately tweeted, okay. I kind of like it. It's not so bad. He actually seems to have enjoyed it.
Well, I think that didn't last very long.
Oh, he went the other way again? Oh, I got to keep up with his tweets. Now he's grumpy again, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just saying this is the infuriating part about the device and Steve Jobs's, philosophy of product design. It's the ultimate compelling consumption device. Anybody falls in love with it the moment they start playing with it. There are some really unique features to it, and it's got just an incredible feel in your hand that I've not felt with any other device. So, you know, I'm much more into an open type platform that you can do some creation on, but I love it as well. And so you have to wonder, why is it that Steve Jobs insists on crippling the devices, not letting you put a USB port in, not letting you change your battery, not letting you run, well, you know, Opera or another browser?
I'm not going to speak for Steve Jobs, but I can. I'm glad he didn't. It's a simple. The idea is simplicity. Yeah. You know, we interviewed Wozniak. He was out there with you, Robert, at the Palo Alto Apple store the night before.
He was at Valley Fair.
Or Valley Fair. Okay. We interviewed him that night, Friday night. And he said, I thought completely the salient point, which is this is, in a way, a reboot for personal technology. It is. It's gotten too complex. Here's the guy who, you know, built the Apple One and Apple Two, and he says this is simple, and that's good. Do you need a USB port on this?
I look at it differently. It's almost like we're moving from the carburetor era of cars to the fuel injection era of cars. And I remember the same arguments happening, especially around kids who love to tinker with their cars, you know, getting inside a carburetor and replacing the carburetor and messing around with your air fuel mixture was really easy back in that era of cars. And now, you know, now we have fuel injection that's run by computers, and you need to be a computer hacker to really control your air mixture in your car. And that's a different thing, but look at what it's brought us in terms of reliability and mileage and other things. And normal people don't want to learn about the air fuel mixture of their car. You know, they just want to turn on the key and drive. Mm-hmm. And
I think this is a terrible analogy.
Why?
Because adding a webcam, which has been on the iPhone for over 2 years, right, is not the equivalent of, you know, the equivalent for a carburetor would be opening the thing up and changing the memory chips. Nobody's saying, you know, change the memory chips. What we are saying is, you know, can I have a camera? Is a camera too complex for people? Really?
Dave Weiner and Cory Doctorow definitely made the point that they want to tinker with a device. They want to build software for it. They want to have an open platform that they don't have to convince a committee to distribute their software to. And those are legitimate claims on this world. Now,
from the feature standpoint,
yeah, you know, Steve Jobs takes away stuff every time he comes out with something new. You know,
I guess the question is, are we cows and victims of Steve and just following along? Or is this a useful device, but we still got our computers, we still got our camcorders, we still got all the other devices? It seems to me that you're not giving up anything by buying an iPad any more than you would be by buying a television set. Right? I mean,
do you think that there's going to be a consumer that
you don't want a camera on your TV set? That's not needed.
Actually, that's coming, by the way.
But I don't want it. I know, but nobody really wants that?
Wait until you see the next Xbox. It has a camera on it that watches your interaction, and you play video games by doing gestures to the camera.
Project Napalm. Jenny, I mean, what do you think on this? I mean, is that a reasonable response to people like Corey? This doesn't exclude all of those great things that the digital revolution has brought us?
It's a first-generation device. I think it's been interesting to watch a range of people arguing about this on Twitter. Looking at the iPad as a successor to or something that is supposed to combine different functions, different roles that are familiar to us. Those of us who remember what computing was like 10, 15, 20 years ago might feel a sense of frustration, or there might be some kind of friction for us in adopting this because, no, it's not a netbook. No, it's not a phone. No, it's not your TV set. No, it's not your book. But it has the capability to take elements of all those things and the Xbox and the Wii and whatever and merge them in new and interesting ways. Some of the folks in the chat room that I'm following here in the Twit IRC, someone just mentioned that the teardown photos that we blogged on Boing Boing yesterday from, I think, iFixit, mm-hmm. indicates that there may be space for a camera. I would be really surprised. I mean, I mentioned this like on the 27th of January when they did the big unveil in San Francisco. I mentioned this to one of the iPad handlers in the shrouded room where us journalists got, you know, 10 minutes of fondle time with minders. I said, I think it's interesting that this device doesn't have a camera. And I didn't get a definitive response there, but I didn't get a, no, this device will never have a camera either.
Yeah. One thing that I know about Apple's internals, because my brother-in-law
worked
on the...
There's an earthquake in San Francisco right now. Or in Los Angeles.
Are you shaking?
There's a big earthquake right
now.
You
can feel it?
Yes.
Holy cow.
I don't feel it.
Jason, can you feel it?
No.
Maybe it's just a truck.
It's big. this is big. Everything in my house is shaking.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Holy crap.
I don't feel it in Brentwood.
Huh.
Whoa. Do you feel that? Hey,
nothing.
Not here in San Francisco.
This is actually really big.
All right. So here's what I do when there's an earthquake. I pull up search.twitter.com and I start searching on the word earthquake.
It should happen
just to
pretty
watch,
quickly.
All the tweets that come in. And then, Leo, can you pull up USGS website?
Yeah, let me pull that up before everybody else does.
There was one in Baja, Mexico, 8 minutes ago.
that was like a good 20 seconds, you guys.
That's a long time.
The USGS website will have the epicenter in about 4 minutes or less.
Holy crap, it's still swaying.
Mm. Are you in a wooden building, Jenny? Where are you? And where exactly are you in L.A.?
Okay, there's definitely an earthquake happening because I see it on Twitter.
It must be real.
Twitter, it's funny.
Nobody believed her. Believed her until we saw it on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, Twitter has lots. Earthquake, L.A. earthquake. Just felt a nice earthquake.
Yeah, I wasn't just getting the vapors because I was so excited about the iPad.
Are you okay? Is everything all right, Jenny, before we...
Everything's fine. I just saw all the plants hanging from my ceiling going, whoa. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And are you in downtown? Where are you?
It says 6.9 in Baja.
So that's a fairly sizable earthquake.
But Baja's not that close.
No, I know, but it seems like...
I'm not in Baja. I'm on the west side of L.A. right now, and I'm in a big kind of warehouse building at the moment. So, no, it's not wooden, and it's, God willing, it's earthquake-proof. we can go back to talking about
technology.
That's
okay, because you'll be able we'll be able to watch it live on Twit.
I'm actually following your IRC channel, and everyone is posting data.
It's fun when you Google earthquakes. Google now shows a recent earthquakes result. It's part of
USGS is showing 6.9, 16 miles south-southwest of Guadalupe, Victoria, Mexico.
You know, 4 minutes ago, that's probably about right. You're probably feeling it. It takes a while to go through the...
It's interesting that you experienced it as a very rolling, very long motion. Yeah. That would tell you you're not close to the epicenter, because if you're very close to the epicenter, it's very sharp
sudden. Yeah,
you know, that's interesting, Scoble, because there's been times in the past when in the past few months even when we've had quakes that were very, very close to where I am, either in downtown LA or just I think there was one off of Catalina, and there was this big abrupt kind of jolt, but it was very short. This is the longest quake I've felt here or anywhere in quite a while, but it wasn't so violent and shallow. Golly. Yeah. Okay.
Anyways.
I love that. That's real time.
I staged that, by the way. That's my iPad.
The iPad shakes the world. Right?
The earth moved for me.
I think Steve Jobs is getting a little bit upset at us questioning the device, and he just shook the earth. This is a message to people in Los Angeles. Calm down. I'll put
Somebody
a camera
ate
in
too
when
many
I'm ready.
Somebody ate too many marshmallow peeps.
It might have been me. I've been devouring these peepsy. It's a sushi made out of peeps with Rice Krispie treats instead of rice, peeps instead of fish, and the seaweed is actually fruit roll-up. It's quite flavorful.
I would like you all to just note that I did not run to safety.
You were good. There's a journalist. That's a journalist for you. She stayed there, reported.
All right.
I love it. Of course, we didn't believe you because nothing was shaking. The camera was rock steady. I thought, she's losing it, folks. She's gone. CNN has actually started covering it, so it must be true.
Okay.
Must be true.
You don't trust me, but you trust Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting. Twitter is 7,000 more results since I started searching a minute ago. 8,000. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's really interesting how this happens. So that's a good question. You know, a few years ago, you would go to USGS, or you'd do what I do, which Google earthquakes. Now you go to Twitter.
Well, the problem is Twitter doesn't really tell you where it is or the magnitude of it, because if you're really close to the epicenter, even a small earthquake can sometimes seem like major to you.
Right.
And that's why I instantly start going to USGS and refreshing that page to see how big it
Well, it might say something about you or the reader, but what are you more interested in, the number or what people are saying about it, you know?
And that both, because, you know, you noticed what we all did. We went to different places on the internet to learn about this event. We were watching Zini experience it live, and now we can see on Twitter what our friends are saying, on Facebook, on Google. I mean, there's a lot of places that we're going to get really fast information.
Yep.
Just for the record, there are people reporting earthquake in Arizona, San Diego, and Los Angeles.
Wow. That must be Baja.
Is it 2012 already?
6.9 is fairly – that's a strong earthquake.
Yeah.
That's a strong – I wouldn't be surprised you'd feel it in some pretty distant places. So we're going to take a break. I want to come back. We do have a lot more iPad talk, including the surprising stat that as many as perhaps 700,000 iPods were sold in day one. Is that credible?
iPads.
Is that credible? We'll find out in just a little bit, but I want to take a little break to talk about my friends at Squarespace.com. Squarespace is a great place to make your website. A friend asked me yesterday, she said, I've got the domain name and I want to sell some stuff, but I don't know where to go to make my website. And I started saying, well, you know, you could get your hosting, and then you need a content management system. And by the time I finished, I realized, wait a minute. Squarespace, of course. This is the secret behind exceptional websites. Squarespace.com/twit. You can try it free. No credit card required. It really is free. And it's got everything that my friend was asking for. Great templates. In fact, if you go look at the example sites, you'll see that no two Squarespace sites look alike. And that's what you want. You know, you can't say, oh, that's a Squarespace site. They all look different. They all look beautiful. That's because Squarespace starts with beautiful designer templates, then lets you easily, with drag and drop, customize it to fit your needs. They've got great stats, so you can find out who's visiting your site. An iPhone app that is to die for, and I'm sure they'll be updating that for the iPad too. That's going to be the new thing for bloggers. What a great way to blog. If it only had a camera. Also, a social integration with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Dig and all of the other sites. Photo galleries that are just gorgeous. Form building and data collection, and you could try it free for 2 weeks. Get 10% off for the life of your site if you use the coupon code TWIT. That means forever, 10% off. Very easy to import your existing data and export it. If you decide to move on, you won't. Squarespace.com/TWIT. Really great people making great sites starting at $8 a month. Free for the first 2 weeks.
I just made a site while you're doing the commercial.
It's that easy.
I just go to iPadEarthquake.squarespace.com.
No, you didn't really?
iPadEarthquake.squarespace.com. Literally halfway into the commercial, I said, let me try out Squarespace. And I got a site up and running and changed the template. And
you did it faster than I can actually go to it.
iPad Earthquake, boom. I'm ready to go.
This is great.
If there's
great.
Any additional iPad Earthquakes, I'm going to be number one in Google. I got on these. If everybody could tweet this for me, that would be helpful.
It's all about the SEO, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
But I mean, look at that's how easy it is, because you didn't have to enter a credit card or anything. It's just very straightforward. I do think, you know, I know a couple of people said, oh, I got the WordPress app on here. Now, even though it's not for iPad yet, they start thinking blogging, because the iPad just seems like it feels like you might take this to a coffee shop and you might just feel like writing. How is the keyboard for you? Jenny, what do you think of the keyboard? Is it easy to write with?
You know, it's funny. When I first started using the iPhone, I felt a little frustration with the typing interaction. But a lot. But after, there's these cutoff points after a week, after a couple weeks, after 4 weeks, you learn this new motor skill, right? It's like learning to ride a bike. And I can bang out quite a few words per minute now. I'm feeling some of that same friction with the touchscreen keyboard on iPad. I like it a lot more in landscape than I do in portrait.
Yeah.
But I also, they loan me one of the docks, the keyboard docks. I like that a lot. I could imagine easily, and I in fact intend to, purchasing one of the units with 3G so that I don't have to worry about whether or not there's a Wi-Fi connection, you know, taking it to tech conferences, having the keyboard dock, you know, in my purse or my bag or whatever I'm carrying, and being able to compose longer posts or file reports using the dock, or just touchscreen for tweet length or Facebook length or very short posts. We've been doing these short length posts on Boing Boing for a few months now. It's something that my colleague Rob Biskitza set up. He's been doing a lot of interesting design tweaks with us. And they're right about the length of a Twitter post. So with something, with our own blog, with the medium and the voice of our blog evolving, I could imagine more short form things. And it's funny how there's this back and forth between the device and our voices and the format of the blog. I look forward
Isn't it interesting how the device influences your style and your writing? Yeah. I think that's fascinating.
Or the and how site. Twitter has as well. Like, yes. Because of being forced to do 140 characters or less, I notice myself being more brief on the blog as well. Yeah. It teaches you to conserve, and editing and brevity are two of the greatest skills of any writer, I think.
Yeah. My 140 characters is definitely brevity. I bought the Bluetooth keyboard, the little Apple Bluetooth, which is really nice and light and small. And it works beautifully with this. In fact, as soon as you pair it, and it pairs instantly, then you don't get the pop-up keyboard. You just start typing on here. Although somebody told me, and this is a really great tip, I think I saw it on Gizmodo, if you press the eject key on the Bluetooth keyboard, it will slide up the on-screen keyboard. So you don't lose it. Which was a nice little tip.
Our buddy Joel Johnson pointed out earlier today something that I hadn't really thought of, but it seems really silly that the apostrophe key is buried one layer deep.
Yes, because you hit it a lot. I hit it a lot. Yeah, I need it.
And it's nice that there's that smart correction, but that's a really common mistake.
Right. It never knows which one to do.
No. Leo, I just downloaded one of the earthquake apps that's available in the store.
So that Mappity.
Unfortunately, none of them are available for the iPad. And here's something that you can see that's wrong with the iPad. You can buy iPhone apps. This is an iPhone app, but it's really small. And then if you blow it up, the quality of it goes way down.
Yeah.
It looks really bad.
Some apps do better than others. I've noticed, in fact, even games like Spider, which I love, actually blows up 2X pretty well and looks pretty good. I guess it depends on how the bitmaps are stored and so forth. I imagine, though, every single... Okay, I'm going to tell you one thing that's really pissing me off. The number of companies... You know, you have a choice. You can do a universal version of your app. People like Evernote released new versions, Kindle, new version, that have both iPad and iPhone, iPod Touch versions in a single app, no upgrade cost. Very nice. So when I launch my Evernote now, I love it. It actually pulls up Evernote full screen on the iPad, and it really is beautiful. But how many companies, almost all of them, are coming out with iPad-specific versions for an additional $10 or more? It's driving me crazy. There's this land grab, this greed, that's just making me nuts here.
Yeah.
And aren't iPad apps, they seem like they're much more expensive.
Yeah, five times as much. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, why?
Why?
Well, because you have to pay for the pixels.
Cost per pixel is lower.
Something with that.
Yeah.
No, it drives me crazy. Like, New York Times already has an app. Why are they doing a separate app? Now, they're not charging for it.
There's four times more pixels, four times the cost, right?
It just drives me crazy. A Big Oven, which I really love. Why are they selling a separate version? They could just make a universal version. I already have it installed. That was the first thing that drove me crazy is I synced my iPad and had hundreds of apps that I don't want to use because they look so bad.
And you know what?
They should have an upgrade fee too, you know, that you get a discount if you already
Apple doesn't make that possible, unfortunately. That's part of the problem.
The Wall Street Journal did an awesome job because
it used to cost money.
Hold on, Robert. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, Jason? The Wall Street Journal was a delight. I turned it on and I logged into my Wall Street Journal account. I get it in print at the house. Mm-hmm. I have the online, and then it just works on the iPad. So it's like one login.
Yeah, we're not paying the $17.99. I don't know when that's going to kick in.
No, I think it's going to be free for
subscribers.
If you get the print version.
So you see, you get back editions, which is nice. Yeah. Going back to Saturday last, so it's, I guess, a week worth of editions.
And the video
works
in it.
I tried logging in with a Wall Street Journal print subscription, and I was blocked. Maybe I was doing something wrong, but I was blocked from downloading today's paper.
I had an online subscription. Is yours online or is it print only, Jason?
Mine's print. It's both.
Ah, see, that's both.
Print,
see, I paid for the extra for the online, and I think that's probably why you and I can get on. So, Jenny, you only have a print version.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think
the only problem with the Wall Street Journal is it's like every other page
is an ad.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how about one ad per session or two ads per session? Is more ads in it? There you go, more ads in it than in the paper.
Oh, and they're offensive because they take over the whole screen in many cases.
Yeah, if that was the free version, I wouldn't mind an ad every other page.
Right, but I'm paying money for this.
But if I'm paying already, like, can we just? I mean, I don't mind some ads, and then it keeps the little ad in the bottom left. See the little red thing for Oracle?
Thank you,
Rupert.
Which
I think is okay, but I mean,
that doesn't bother me as much. And I notice a lot of the New York Times also, which is free, has little ads on it. But when they do the full screen ad, I mean, I guess we do ads too.
Yeah.
But
how can you charge the user a subscription for the digital version and then inundate them with invasive ads?
Because it's the same as newspaper. You know, you used to pay $50 or $100 to get the print version. Yeah. You got all the ads with the print.
I guess.
Yeah, that's
coming at the world as if it was still newspaper world, you know?
Well, and this is what Jeff Jarvis has been saying on This Week in Google, and others have been saying, is that for content creators, this is an opportunity for them to go retrograde, to go back to an era where they controlled the distribution medium. They you know, it wasn't the World Wide Web. And he's of the opinion, I think a lot of people are of the opinion that this is the last gasp for content companies trying to control everything so tightly.
I don't think so. I mean, go to a movie theater now. You pay your I think the movie prices in New York are up to $18 for a 3D movie. Okay. And you guys sit through about 100 different ads before you even see the movie. And there you're paying to get in the theater.
It drives me crazy.
More for popcorn and everything else. And then you guys sit through all the ads too. So I think these guys are going to treat us the same way. You know, oh, we got a captive audience. They want the New York Times. Let's shove ads in their face.
Well, I think that Jeff's point is that as long as you got a web browser, that's the future of news, and that's how people are going to get their news.
Yeah. On the cost of iPad apps, by the way, some apps are going down in price, like TapTap.
That's free.
Radiation.
Yeah.
Tapulous's game used to cost, I think, $3 or $4. Now it's free. And now their business model has changed to have a little bit of advertising. And then you buy music and things in the game that'll help them monetize. And so they've gone the other way, which is give away the app for free, get people addicted to it, and then sell things inside the app.
As somebody who loves casual gaming, I have to say this is the best casual gaming platform I've ever seen.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's the best casual game native to the iPad?
Well, if you haven't yet been hooked on Plants vs. Zombies, don't download it. Do not download it. Whatever you do, don't. Oh, too bad.
Wait, you're saying Plants and Zombies is available for iPad?
Yeah, this is the iPad version.
One of the Apple folks who demoed the iPad for me first said that this was his absolute favorite game. That was the one he was most psyched about, Plants vs. Zombies for iPad.
Well, and you know, this is PopCap Games. What's interesting, these are Flash games. So obviously they're not written in Flash now. And I think if PopCap has figured out how to put games like this, of course it does Bejeweled, on this platform, watch out. This is going to be an incredible gaming platform.
Wait, there's a version of Bejeweled for this?
No, not yet, but I have a feeling it's the same company that there will be.
Mark Minkus, the CEO of Zynga, who makes Farmville and stuff like that, said he's converting all of his games to non-Flash so that he can get them onto the iPad, iPhone, and other platforms without worrying about it.
Is this the end for Flash, the iPad?
It's certainly the beginning of the – it's not the end, but it certainly takes away a lot of the need for Flash. I mean, TED Talks, for instance, just last week turned on an HTML5 website so you could watch all of their videos on the iPad without having any Flash involved. And you can see you can build casual games now without having Flash. That was pretty hard to do, you know, two or three years ago. Now, so Adobe, if I have a video on my YouTube channel with Adobe giving us the reason that Flash is still relevant. They now look at it as, hey, we have 3 million Flash developers who know how to do Flash, but they don't necessarily know how to do Objective-C or other languages. So they're converting from a platform that runs Flash to a tool that will help iPhone developers build games using Flash front ends. So they already have a tool that converts Flash apps, not Flash in web pages, but Flash apps into iPhone apps that can be, or iPad apps that can be distributed this way.
What's your favorite game right now on the iPad? Anybody?
Patrick.
By the way, we should explain is Robert's teenage son.
And he's the gamer in the family. I don't play games.
He's a sophomore
right
in high school.
Now I'm playing. Turn on the audio so people can hear the audio.
Oh, that's the driving game. That's an amazing game. You steer with the iPad.
Yeah, which is actually a fairly good experience.
It is? You don't find that the screen moving around is bugging you?
No, I actually don't, because it doesn't take a lot to move it, and it actually works with how you play.
Right.
I also played the Call of Duty Nazi Zombies game.
That's fun.
Did
they upscale that?
Fun.
Did they make that for iPad?
Yeah, they do, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just think, for instance, crossword puzzles or Scrabble, this is kind of such a natural for people who love crossword puzzles. This is how you're going to want to do crossword puzzles, I would think. And it's, you know, Scrabble's $10 version is selling like hotcakes, but actually I prefer Words with Friends for $5. It's a faux Scrabble that you play online instead of via the Bluetooth. And I think it's just really great. I can't stop playing this Farmville clone. God help me. God help me. It's called We Rule. Oh, dear. I thought I'd escaped Farmville, but no. We're going to see a lot more, I think. Jenny, do you play any games on this thing?
Right now, Patrick?
This is the Call of Duty game.
I'm not a big gamer, but I actually think that I may end up picking some new bad habits up thanks to the iPad. The whole thing with Scrabble, with being able to use that helper app on your iPhone and sort of flick your letters onto the board remotely.
Ooh, that's
cool. That's not magic. That's crazy.
Wait a minute. Tell me about that. That's the official Scrabble version?
Yeah. So the Scrabble app for iPad is lovely.
I'm gonna have to buy it, I guess. Oh,
I forget what the name of the app is for iPhone, but there's a helper app that if you have, say, three people playing Scrabble around the table, and each of the players happens to have an iPhone and happens to have this app installed, you can set up your little deck or whatever you call it and just flick your letters onto the board. Right?
Yeah, we're gonna see a lot of things like that, I'm sure, because you got this you got Bluetooth, it's very quick and easy to pair and
To me, even just that design decision, that kind of playfulness, and it's like a pun in technology, sort of being self-aware of what the technology is capable of, that in and of itself is a thing of beauty. I mean, beyond whatever the gameplay experience is, whoever thought of that, like, thumbs up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. It's very playful.
Yeah.
Now, you're still killing zombies, Patrick, I see.
Yes, I am. So the graphics are pretty good on this, actually. It's a fairly good experience.
This was a hard game to play on the iPhone because, you know, the screen is so small, you don't have really room for controls, so you're kind of obscuring what you're doing with your big fat thumbs. But you can see there's so much room on the iPad that you really can use joysticks and thumb controls, and they work quite well.
Yeah, and I've actually, as far as the gaming goes, it's a lot better than it is on the iPhone, and I'm actually finding it very playable because I've actually tried to play this game on the iPhone, too, and it's hard, to say the least.
Jason, what are you playing? You got any games on there?
Oh, you just cost me $10. I bought Plants vs. Zombies. And so that's the end of my life.
It is the end of your life.
I have an embarrassing addiction to Bejeweled 2 Blitz.
I love Bejeweled 2 Blitz. You told me how to play, actually. You really helped my game.
And so it's a totally embarrassing thing. It's like my two sister-in-laws and like... they're addicted to it. So I basically am in every week in competition with them to see who can score more on Bejeweled 2, and they both beat me. And, you know, like it's just embarrassing. And then everybody knows when you play it because you have to post your high score. So now people are like, what are you doing? Don't you have all this free time with your kid and all this stuff? You're playing Bejeweled every day. And I'm like, well, that's when I'm in line for something, you know, whatever. But, you know, I just thought of something, though. We were talking before about, you know, why is it not have all the features? Why can't you multitask and stuff like that? And I think the most awesome feature of this, or the surprise feature for me, is that the battery lasts forever.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. How is that possible? I mean, my iPhone lasts under an hour.
Well, Jason, I was arguing about this with somebody yesterday. The fact that the device is not yet trying to connect to a cellular network, I would wager, has something to do with that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, 12 hours of battery life, 10 hours of battery life, playing movies, playing games. It's absurd. And I think this is why Steve is keeping all the other features out of the item. I think he realizes battery life is paramount. And I think he's made such a big deal about Windows crashing in his marketing campaigns. And he's got that sort of, you know, three decades of fighting Bill Gates and Microsoft. And that's like his one, you know, thing he can always take out. Like, oh, blue screen of death, blue screen of death. He is paranoid about having a blue screen of death on his device. So the only thing he allows to run in the background is the phone or the iPod software, which is something he has direct control over. He's desperate to not have it crash or have the battery go down. If you multitask, the battery is going to last half as long.
Somebody, I think it was the Ultimate or the Unofficial Apple Weblog, pointed out that one of the reasons they may not have flash in here, and they may not, they may have done their own chip, is because when you do an ASIC, a custom ASIC like the A4, you can take capabilities out. And you don't need, unlike a general purpose chip where you'd have support for things like flash or a camera, where you'd have capabilities built in to support these technologies. You can save energy, you can save complexity, you can make a cheaper chip. If you know, well, we're not going to support a camera, we're not going to support flash, you don't have to support those things in the hardware either. What are you showing there, Robert?
Oh, I'm showing you the new Netflix app.
I love that, by the way. I watched a movie last night.
Yeah.
That's what made me realize this is a TV, or this is the competitor for this is maybe not your laptop, but your TV.
Well, look at what we're doing here. You know, we can have personalized media experiences. We can be watching a 60-inch movie. We can then be on Twitter and talking with our friends. And Patrick can be on Facebook or reading his forums. And we don't have to have the same experience, or we can play a game against
each
other.
So much for family life. It's all over, folks. It was bad enough with Blackberries and iPhones. Now we don't have to talk to each other or even look at each other at all ever again. Are you going to have a rule, Robert? No iPads at the table?
Well, this is going to stay in the family room.
Yeah, it's probably a smart idea. I could just see this under the table at my house, all the teenagers.
Well, can you stop the iPhone from being used there?
No.
Yeah.
I have to take it away from them. Sad. How about Kindle? Is this a threat to Kindle as a book application? Let's talk about that in a second. Before we do, I do want to mention GoToMeeting. And, you know, by the way, this is one of the hot apps on here, is a GoToMeeting app. The folks at Citrix released a free GoToMeeting player. So, I mean, I love the idea that you're you know, supposed to be at work. You're supposed to be meeting with somebody, and you just go out, you know, you take it easy, you go out to the park, and you launch the GoToMeeting player, and now you can join a meeting and watch the meeting and participating in the meeting directly from your iPad. GoToMeeting is a great program for people who have to meet in business. If you've been making conference calls and you've been suffering through them, you've been suffering through the pain of being on the phone and knowing the other person's playing with their iPad or their iPhone, or playing, you know, Bejeweled Blitz.
Yeah.
You know they're doing it because it gets quiet on the other end, right?
I know they're doing it because I'm doing the same thing.
Well, GoToMeeting gives them something to look at, gives them your screen, so your PowerPoint, your demonstration, your training. Here's what you do. You go to GoToMeeting.com/twit right now. You can sign up for 30 days free. GoToMeeting from Citrix is the easiest to install. 128-bit SSL encryption means it's secure. There's never been a remote exploit. It is absolutely rock solid. It's just the greatest thing. GoToMeeting.com/twit. Try it today for 30 days absolutely free. It's just going to transform the way you do business. We use it almost every day now. We use our GoToMeeting. In fact, people will call up and say, oh, I want to do SharePoint or whatever it is, the Microsoft thing and something. No, sorry. We do GoToMeeting here. I insist on it. Mac or Windows, we couldn't do our shows with it without it. We couldn't get as much done as we do without it. And now that it's on the iPad, I don't have to come in anymore. I'm going to be doing my GoToMeetings here. On the park bench. GoToMeeting.com/twit. Try it free for 30 days. Absolutely free. I guarantee you, you're going to want to make this a big part of your day-to-day business. We thank the folks at Citrix for supporting the show. And I'm really thrilled that they did an iPad app for this. That's fantastic.
Hey, Leo, I just want to say I was just looking at CNN's coverage of the quake just now. The last line of the report is, posters to Twitter reported feeling the quake as far away as Phoenix, Arizona.
It's kind of amazing how CNN has embraced Twitter. I mean, it's as if they discovered it and you know, I mean, they just embraced it. It's everywhere they are now. And it almost makes it feel passe that mainstream media has such a big, such a hold on it. I have to say, Twitter is really nice on the iPad.
Yeah, sure is.
There are three good applications. Twitterific immediately came out with a free one. TweetDeck has a very nice one that basically duplicates the functionality of TweetDeck on the desktop. But I have to say, I like Andrew Stone's version. Andrew does really, this is Twittilator Pro, does really beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think really uses the interface nicely. So this is the timeline. This square on the right can be direct messages. See the border that lets you know. It can be mentions. See the little envelope that lets you know. You can watch trends there, trending topics, so we could easily see the earthquake trending topic here. There's also regional trends, which is something that Twitter does, but isn't necessarily exposed in a lot of the Twitter applications. And I really like this inline pictures. So if you use TweetPhoto or TweetPic or one of the well-known pictures sites, it just puts it inline right in there. And I just love that. This is anyway, there are a lot of different ones. This one's not free. Twitterific is, and I think a lot of people will use Twitterific, although they have ads in Twitterific.
I have Twitterific up on my iPad right now, so people can see
it. It's pretty. To me, it feels like it's not using the space very efficiently. Look how big that is. But you do get big pictures of people, which is nice.
It's nice for the pictures. I do like to be able to see people. I have a TweetDeck as well, which is really pretty good. It has more information on the screen, more tweets on the screen. But I actually like the look of this, and like, because my stream moves so fast, I just like to sit there in bed and just page through my stream.
Right.
Pretty nice.
Have you tried Twittilator?
No, that looked really cool. I'm going to try that next.
So pretty.
I'm a sucker for pretty. I love it that design is going to become so much more important thanks to this. Apple already did that on the Macintosh, and this just takes it to the next level. Why are you showing us that?
Because this is my answer. The Kindle is dead.
Yeah, let's talk about book reading.
Battery is empty.
I mentioned this earlier, I'm thrilled that Amazon's Kindle application is not only on here, updated, and Apple hasn't stopped it. So all of my Kindle books, everything I have in my library is available here. And using WhisperSync is always up to date, and this is a really great experience.
I love that the titles, the page covers are in color.
Well, in fact, I'm looking at a programming book, Steve Kochan's Objective C book, and apparently he did the screenshots in color because they're in color on the Kindle application, which is great.
Yeah.
The Winnie the Pooh that comes with the iBook application, of course, has color illustrations too, and is actually a very good choice. But what about reading? Is it as easy to read on here, do you think?
I think so. I read a little bit last night on here, and it was just as nice as the Kindle. The one exception is that there's glare on the screen.
Right.
And also it doesn't work in bright sunlight. So
it's best in the dark, let's face it.
So I bought the Kindle because I live near the beach, and so I like to go out there. I just found I never used it for that. So that argument just doesn't wash with me, because when I'm on the beach, I never liked reading that much on the Kindle. And here the page turns are so much faster, so I can read faster, I can skim faster. The Kindle is really hard to skim through a book, which is a lot of how I read. This is why I like paper, because you can You know, in fact, who has a big book here? Oh, downstairs is Tom Peters' new book. And it's the kind of book that you don't read from front to back. You sort of skim through it and look for an interesting idea.
Right.
And then you focus on that idea for a little while, and then you skim and find another one, you know?
I have to say, if it's got color illustrations like this Winnie the Pooh, it just, this just beats the Kindle all like crazy.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. What's funny is the Kindle app on the iPad doesn't have the dictionary that the Kindle has, but the iBook app does have the dictionary. And I've always thought that was a nice feature of the Kindle, is that you can look up a word if you're reading along and you don't know the word. Of course, it's got the same capabilities with notating and bookmarking and all of that stuff.
Well, not only that, but look at this book, Peter Rabbit. This isn't even in the Kindle app. This is just an iPhone app that you download. You know, but you you click on it, it has color.
Right.
It reads to you, and I'm going to leave that off. But as it reads to you, it fills in the picture, you know, and you know, it's color. Look at that. And compared to the Kindle, my son never liked the Kindle.
Right.
You know, my 2-year-old, he's not going to be kept attentive to a black and white screen that doesn't move, you know.
My 75-year-old mom says she's going to continue to use the Kindle because it's lighter. And it's easier on her eyes.
Oh, talk about that. Yesterday was the first day my mother-in-law has really used a computer. And she doesn't, she grew up in Iran. She doesn't speak English. And I was able to pull up the Farsi version of the BBC and hand it to her.
Oh, that's neat.
And because of the form factor, it's more like looking at a book, right? So people like that who are adverse to computers feel a lot more comfortable. If you hand them a laptop with a lot of keys that they don't understand and can't read, they really freak out. But she took right to it. She was paging through things and clicking. She learned how to click on things and how to zoom on things really easily. And so it's bringing a new kind of person to the computer world. Remember, only about a seventh of the world's population is on computers. Out of 7 billion people, you know, probably around 1.5 billion are on computers, and probably around 2 billion are on cell phones. So if this metaphor, if this style thing brings computing to more people, that'll help us all out.
Do you, would you read books? Do you use a Kindle, Jason?
No, I listen to audiobooks on Audible. Kindle, I just spend my whole day reading emails and other documents. So at the end of the day, I'm really tired. My eyes, I just like to close them and listen to an audiobook. I think most people sadly don't read that much. So the, you know, for the majority of users, they would rather have a game playing device that can surf the web. And then books is something they do 5% of the time or 10%. Right. And the serious readers, yeah, they might go for the Kindle over, you know, the iPad. But I think the iPad got it right, which is, you know, the make the screen really good for surfing the web and looking at photos and videos and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe lose a little bit of traction when people are reading a book than the other way around. I mean, surfing the web on a Kindle is a joke, right? But if you turn, I find if you turn the brightness down on the iPad, it looks much better.
You can do that. It's built into the book application.
Yeah, in the book application. Just if you put it down to about, I don't know, a third, it's much more readable. If you have it on the top, your eyes just start vibrating. But yeah, it sucks in the sun. I mean, it's unreadable. I mean, even the iPad in general, I mean, if you're in a room with too much light, it's not readable. These glare screens are...
They're very glary, yeah.
Yeah. What is the point of it? Is it just is the glareness what makes it so crisp?
Yeah,
I
mean, blacks are richer because in order to reduce glare, you have to essentially almost fog up the screen and so that you don't get the contrast ratios that you would get with a clear screen. It's just a clear screen. It's a glass screen. How about you, Jenny? Are you a Kindle user?
I'm not. You know, I've tried it out, but it was never a device that I got all churchy about. Yeah. I like the iPad because it fits with my continuous partial attention deficit disorder lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah.
So I can change my mind very quickly between wanting to read a book and wanting to maybe work on a lightweight blog post for Boing Boing, play a game, you know, look around in the periodic table of elements. You guys haven't shown that on screen. That's my favorite.
I don't have it. Would you show it? Because it's expensive. You got it from Apple. I didn't get it, so I have to buy it.
So it's $14. Let's see if you.
Yeah, that's a lot for the periodic table of the elements for me.
Oh, but it's not just any periodic table.
It's got pictures of copper. Look at that.
I'm a shill for science, you guys. Look at this.
Oh, actually, that is pretty. Okay.
Copper, and then look here. I'm going to open up the Wolfram Alpha.
Okay. All right. I'm buying.
So you can see that there's you can look at the thermodynamic properties of copper. Blah, 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 blah. But here, let's go to the second page, and then you see all of the different representations, and you see how I'm moving around that dragon with my finger, so you can manipulate the objects, and then
wow,
look at that. So now we're looking at what would be a 3D representation.
Is that stereo? Oh, so if you had the glasses, the anamorphic glasses.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have them on my desk right now, but there's these, it's for $4, you can buy these little boxy paper lenses that you look, they're not paper lenses, paper glasses with little plastic lenses in.
Right.
And you look at this application and it's really amazing. You can twirl those little 3D images too, so it's like you really do have sort of a holographic experience.
Wow. By the way, Leo, I loaded the Wolfram Alpha app up on my iPad, and I just typed in the word copper, and it does all sorts of fun.
Could you explain why they charge for that app when I can use the Safari and do? Can I not do exactly the same thing in Safari?
Yeah, it's $2 now, so it's not as expensive.
So it's a donation to Stephen.
Yeah, you know, help developers stay alive and notice there's no ads on here. So he's not making a whole lot of money off of a $2 ad or a $2 app so far. I think it just has a little bit nicer layout, but God knows.
Hey, I bought the Wikipedia application. Don't ask me why. I don't.
Jimmy Wales needs to eat too, you know.
I don't think he even has anything to do with it. I don't think he wrote the Wikipedia application. all right, so gaming, thumbs up. Book reading, well, kind of mezza.
Here's something for the 3G version, because we haven't seen the 3G version of the iPad yet. Are we going to see a new kind of traffic app come out for this?
You know, I'm surprised at how good the geolocation is even without GPS on this. I guess they're using Skyhook. But the Maps application works quite well. You're able to pinpoint yourself.
Did you guys try Starwalk? The Star.
No, I gotta buy that too. All right.
Well, it just so happens that I have it. Let's see. Here you go.
So it knows where you are, and it shows you the sky as you're pointing at it.
Exactly. Oh, so there's the crab.
Cool. That's really
and,
that is pretty.
And Canis
cool.
Major. And there's trippy ambient music. Can you hear it?
No.
Turn it up.
Oh, it's because I gotta turn it up.
I can just picture 50 people at Burning Man carrying that around the playa next year.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Dude, check out Taurus.
That's called... What is that called? Starwalker? Skywalker?
Starwalk. I think it's $10. I mean, it's pricey, but that and the elements are certainly my two favorite apps.
All right.
This is going to be interesting. What's Google going to do? Because Google's coming... I know there's Google... tablets coming with the Google Chrome OS, and the Google version of that app is already free on Android. So I bet, you know, Google's going to come in with a really nice map on their app and a whole bunch of new kinds of apps on theirs. It'll be really interesting to see how Google and Apple compete over this new space that Apple is really proving exists.
Yeah. You know, somebody just corrected me on the price too. I think it's actually at least $4.99.
It's $4.99.
$4.99.
Yeah,
thanks.
I just bought it. That's how I know. I'm a sucker.
The answer to your question, Robert, is that the Android tablets are going to sell probably 2 or 3 to 1 to iPads.
Really? You think so?
Absolutely, because they'll be probably 30% less, and there'll be, I would say there'll be 50 different versions of it out in the year, just like there are. And if you look at the HTC phones and how quickly they're iterating and the features they're putting in them, and the stability of the Android operating system, it's very clear Android's going to outpace the number of iPhones. And with the iPad, I think it will be an even bigger difference, because when you think about it, this is going to be a $600-$700 device if you want to have the version with the internet on it. And when it comes out on Android, gosh, I would be surprised if it's over $500. You'll probably have $300 or $400 purchases. And when these things get down to $300. You know, everybody's going to have one, just like a lot of kids have the iPod Touch in a family. You'll have three of these in your house, but when they're $600-$700, you're not going to have three of them right. in your house, and price is going to really matter.
And by the way, go ahead.
I'm less interested in the 3G. I'm really pissed that they didn't put GPS in the cheaper device because for my car, my kids are going to be sitting in the back seat with two of these or three of these if Patrick's along. And I'm going to buy a Sprint 4G modem that's coming out in San Francisco for the car. It costs about $100 or $200. Tantec had one at South by Southwest, and it's really fast. It's like DSL speeds. And then you spray Wi-Fi into the car. If you have three devices in the car, they all use the same connection. And I only pay for the connection one time instead of having to buy 3G for each different iPad or Google Chrome OS pad that comes out.
This is the future. Yeah, I have one. And in Austin, the Sprint Overdrive actually was connecting over 4G, and it was legitimate DSL speeds. And Los Angeles is getting 4G next, from what I understand. And Sprint is on a jihad to get, because Sprint as a company is really screwed up right now. So they're basically saying, let's bet the whole farm on 4G. So it's going to be great for consumers. And I think the future is people are going to have this and phones without cellular service on them. So you'll get one of these.
What is this? Tell us what that thing is. I can see it.
It's a Wi-Fi router, and it's what's really cool about it is it has
it's called the Overdrive.
Overdrive, and what's cool about it is it has it creates a little Wi-Fi network. It connects over 3G or 4G, and you can connect a bunch of devices to it. And it's got this very cool LED display here that shows you how many people are connected to it, how much you've sent, or signal strength. And I'm finding myself carrying this with me. And for example, I was playing poker the other night till 6 or 7 in the morning, and I was at the casino and I just popped this out and had my BlackBerry and my iPhone running off this because it was a better connection and faster. So using the iPhone on AT&T really sucks. Obviously, we all know that. So basically, what you do is you get one of these, and now your iPhone is on Sprint. And this lasts 2 hours, and this is the first generation device. They're a little bit screwy. They freeze up sometimes, and I had rebooting problems. I sent it in. I got another one. This one's a little bit better. So it is first gen, is a sort of disclaimer. But I've gotten 2 hours of life out of this using heavy internet. So I think that, and you can, it's crazy, but they have a new innovation that I guess Steve Jobs hasn't figured out yet. But if you go on the back here, you can open it up and take the battery out. It's a very advanced technology, removable battery. So. I think Steve's working. His R&D department's hard at work on the removable battery concept.
Well, they can't figure out how to get the removable battery and the solid aluminum back. You know,
they could figure it out if they wanted to. This is the thing that's so frustrating. I mean, you really, I'm an adult and I can't change the battery on my iPhone. This is when the arguments of like, oh, it's beautiful, has to be designed well,
I'm
changing batteries people have been doing for 50 years.
Yeah, but you said one thing that you like about this is the long battery life. One of the reasons you can get more battery life is because you can put more battery in because you don't have to put an enclosure around the battery. So you get more capacity.
Not only that, but the first thing I did when I picked this up was just feel the edges. There's no...
I don't think it's aesthetic. I think it's partly aesthetic. But
come
I think
on, you know Steve Jobs. You know what
it's partly aesthetic, but it's also it really is a way to get maximum battery life out of the thing.
He doesn't want to put a freaking door on this thing or a little clip or anything. He wants it to be smooth all the way around, and that sure is nice when you're holding this thing.
No, you're being ridiculous, Robert.
I'm not being ridiculous.
This is Steve Jobs' OCD. Speaking.
The
I mean, he guy is
my Motorola Droid sucks, man. You look at battery doors on these things, and they add complexity to the devices. They add buttons. And they add
changing the battery's complexity? Are you out of your mind? Yeah. Do you own a flashlight?
Okay.
Come on.
I know that Shenny has to leave
because they're LED and they last for 50 hours.
Boys, Mrs. Jardin has to move on, and I really thank you for being here, Shenny. It's really nice to meet you finally. After all these years, I've been a fan, and of course, Boing Boing is absolutely the must-read blog, and you do such a great job with it. Also, Shenny.net, XENI.NET, another place to go. Thank you so much for being here. Uh-oh, I think you've muted yourself again.
Muted yourself. We
I'm sure she was saying nice things.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Thank you, Jenny.
If you have me back, I'll make sure to bring another earthquake with me.
Would you please? That was exciting.
I will.
That was the most real-world thing we've had happen on this show ever.
And I'll just leave you with one thing. So I was just looking on Twitter, and an astronomer that I follow said that the type of waves, the long rolling waves from the distant earthquake, are known as love waves.
Aww.
Serious.
You just named the show.
Google it.
I bet you it's a geologist named Love, but okay, we'll take it.
Bye, everyone. Thank you,
Jenny. Great to talk to you. Boingboing.net and Jenny.net. And boy, she's really a very talented and well-known. But I didn't realize you'd worked with her before, Jason. That's cool.
I met Jenny back when I was doing Silicon Valley Reporter in the 90s, and she was working for one of the clients of the magazine, and she helped me at one of the events we were doing here in Los Angeles, and she was like, oh, I'll moderate a panel. She did an amazing job. And I went to the people she was working for, and I said, listen, it's been great having you as a client, but I have some bad news. And they said, what? I said, I'm going to hire Jenny. And they were like, oh, my God, how could you do that? Oh my God. It was a whole controversy. And I said, I'll give you a free sponsorship to the next event. And they were like, okay. You know, but so I basically gave a $20,000 sponsorship to get her to work for us. And she did an amazing job. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's
fantastic. One of my 10 favorite bloggers. It's interesting. Like, there's a whole group of people who worked at Silicon Valley Reporter, Rafat Ali from Paid Content, Shani Jardin. And actually, I was the first person to publish Clay Shirky.
Really?
Silicon Valley Reporter. Yeah.
Oh, I love him too. Boy, is he amazing.
I used to edit his pieces, and I'd be like, you have 800 words. He'd write 800 words. I would get through two paragraphs and say, I'm already lost. And I'd say, dude, you have to explain these references, because I don't think people know this 14th century poet, nor do they know this philosopher. And so when you reference the two of them and you say, like, you know, Rilke is to this as, you know, Windows 95 is to, you know, Netscape 1.0, I don't think people understand. He's like, really? I was like, no, they don't, because I'm the average person, and I slept through that course in college, and I didn't go to graduate school. It's pretty funny.
Hey, what are you playing, Robert? What is that? That looks really interesting.
Patrick's playing Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
Wow, that looks really cool.
This show's going to cost me like 50 or 80
bucks. Oh, I have spent so much money on apps. And, you know, I don't feel like we're seeing anywhere. It's interesting. I think in some ways this is television in the Milton Berle era. You know, this is a first-generation device. And just imagine, I mean, look at what we're seeing already. And just imagine what we're going to see in a year as people start to understand how to develop for it. Apple did a brilliant thing by making it the same operating system as the iPhone. So you've got this great base of applications and a lot of developers who, more importantly, I think, who know how to write for it. And we're already seeing amazing stuff. And I think this is just the beginning. This is if I were a young guy learning to program, I'd be learning Objective-C, Cocoa. And
you know what the problem is, though, Leo, is if Steve Jobs was less obsessive about control.
I understand.
And he let those apps run on Android and BlackBerry. Do you realize how big Apple would get?
No, I agree. I think it's
huge.
A mistake. And I think what you said about an Android tablet selling three times more than the iPad is very interesting. And you're probably right. Not just for price. I think, you know, you know me. I switched from an iPhone to a Nexus One. I like Android.
Yeah.
I understand this, that, you know, multitasking, as much as people like it, does make it harder to write software, harder to maintain an operating system reliably. It adds to complexity. And, you know, in a way, if you have something that's as snappy as the iPad is, you can kind of live without multitasking.
What would be great is a feature in the settings panel that said, I want to turn on the advanced feature set, or I want to turn on the developer feature set. And Steve Jobs could do that in 15 minutes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they must have that internally, like turn on developer app thing. So we just won't.
No, he's a control freak.
It's just absurd. I mean, if you look at the phones, this is the embarrassing thing, I think, for Steve, is that in the first 6 months of the Android phones being out, they had better hardware profiles than anything he's built to date. And people think he's invincible and untouchable. It's not true. You know, a lot of his innovations, you look at what Microsoft Windows did to, you know, the first version of the Mac software. Remember, Microsoft originally had DOS. It didn't have a graphical user interface. And Windows came along and beat them 96-4.
I remember talking to Steve when he was still at Pixar. This was probably in 93, 90, maybe 94. And he said, and I thought it was very telling, we had a 10-year lead on Microsoft when we came out with the Macintosh in 1984. We had a 10-year lead. We let it slip, and 10 years later, with Windows 3.1 and later Windows 95, Microsoft caught up, and we and Apple lost. And that was, at the time, it was very astute. And I think he knows better than anybody that there is no such thing as a permanent lead in this industry. It moves way too fast.
It's an interesting gambit. He's trading features, advanced technology, and the high-tech crowd for ease of use and a lack of crashing. And I think that it doesn't have to be binary. He could very easily make the concept of jailbreaking
legal.
And just call it experimental. Right. But he is so obsessive, I think, that he cannot handle the idea that somebody would put that on experimental mode and they would be out at dinner and say, oh, my iPhone crashed.
Right.
He takes it as a personal insult that if his thing crashes. And that's the whole reason for the App Store as well.
Right.
You know, and
complete control.
Yeah. And it extends into three specific things, I think. One is he wants these devices to not crash. Two, he doesn't want anybody to be confused and feel intimidated by them. And then three, he doesn't want children to have a bad experience and have parents go, this is inappropriate for kids.
Right.
And if you look at Google, like Google is inappropriate for kids. If you type in any woman's name and turn off safe search and look at images, you're going to be really, offended and or delighted.
Well, I got to say, there's already one porn website that has created an iPad-specific version. I'm not going to say the name, but I had to test it out, so I did just went and visited
can
it.
Can you say the name in the chat room?
And it's iPad-specific. What they've done is they've taken all the Flash videos and they've made them H.264 720p so that they'll play back on an iPad. What is that you're showing us there?
I did a search for porn and found these two apps, Porn Star Names.
Yeah, this is not an app. This is just, and this is the point, is that you do have a browser in here. And if you, yeah. And you can, you
no,
know.
These are actually apps. You know, but
yeah, but Porn Star Names is just names.
You do a search for porn.
No, yeah, but go search for porn on an Android. There's plenty of it.
Oh yeah.
Most of it awful.
Well, it'll be also interesting to see what the adult entertainment industry does about Flash and Silverlight, and I bet they go HTML5 very quickly because of these places.
That's what this website did, and you know, it took them no time at all. They just made 720p H.264 videos and said this is an iPad version of our site, and done. I wasn't able to get any of the videos to play, though. Which relieved me because it was actually scary. Lisa Tickle Pink has disappeared off the internet. Lisa, dear, if you're watching, I wore a pink shirt just for you. We would like to get you on to talk about the fact that you are now in the 30,000 follower club on Twitter, which is more than Dave Weiner, who invented RSS. So you're doing okay, kid. And we also would like to, if somebody could provide us with an alternative service to TwitRand, we'd like to give away an iPad before the show's over. So we'll do that when we come back, I hope. Before we do, though, get ready. Get your sighs and whispers ready, Jason Calacanis, because it's time to talk about Audible. Oh. Audible.com.
Oh, this website is good. You type in audible.com/twit.
Audible.com/twitter, because you get one, not one, but two books. Free.
Two books is better than one
yeah.
book. And you don't have to hurt your eyes. Close your eyes. You have shades. You put shades on, and you relax and listen.
I thought that was funny when you said that, Jason, because it's in fact true that when I read books, I fall asleep almost instantly because I'm reading in bed. And I go, but Audible, I listen to books while I'm driving, while I'm gardening, while I'm in the gym. These are times I'm not going to fall asleep. I get hours of reading done every single day thanks to Audible.
And, you know, there's like facts and news, and then there's wisdom. And I think what a lot of young people don't do today is they're so hyped up on getting quick news, tweets, Facebook updates, you know, news stories, blog posts. That's all great. But you don't get deep wisdom from that because you don't get so deep into a subject that you actually understand it on a very deep level and can apply that. And when you listen to business audiobooks or science audiobooks or psychology or self-improvement and you spend 5-10 hours with the subject, you really have learned something deeply. And that's what's missing from most people's media diet. They don't have substance and wisdom. And that's what I get out of Audible because that's what I'm craving and that's what I apply to business. I have quoted you know, this book that I've been listening to, and I'm two-thirds of the way through it, Talent is Overrated, to my people and, you know, and to CEOs of other companies I'm an angel investor in. And this book is awesome. But, you know, I wouldn't have read it because I'm just too tired to read a 300-400-500-page book at the end of the day.
Right.
But I can plow through this when I'm driving,
yep.
when I'm on a Southwest flight to the Valley. I mean, Audible makes my life very easy. I'm on the two-book plan, and that means I'm always like four books ahead. And that's the perfect ratio for me because I've got – I'm probably about three or four books behind, which means if I want to switch, I've always got them there. It's no pressure. And it's only like, what is it, $12 a month or something silly?
Yeah, it's not very expensive. It's definitely the way to go.
Super cheap.
Yeah.
And the points that you get, each of these books, it's cumulative. So like let's say you take 2 months off from it and you're like, oh my God, I wasted it. Like, you know, you have your Netflix account, you don't use it for 3 months. And you're like, oh my God, I wasted it. That happens to me all the time. Not with Audible. Those credits build up. So then, you know, like let's say you go in there, you have five or six credits like I did the other day. I had five or six credits. I went right to the they have like an Oscars of book awards. I looked at the top two or three business books, top two or three science books. They said, you know what? I'm taking them all. I'll put them on my phone. If I listen to it, I listen to it. But for $150 a year, $200 a year, that what is that the cost of, you know? I mean, it's a cost of a couple of iPad applications, 14 iPad applications. You're going to get really smart.
I was doing a search for Clay Shirky, but I entered Clay Shark instead. I don't think any of his books are on here. Too bad, because that would be really something to listen to.
And maybe with him actually...
reading them.
Reading them would be great.
There's so much great stuff. Look, you get two choices. So pick your two free books by going to audible.com/twit2. You're going to sign up for the Platinum account. First two books are free. You can cancel any time. I know you won't want to, because you're just going to love it. How about this one? I haven't read this, but I just love the name. The Yugo, Rise and Fall of the Worst Car in History. See, to me, that's the kind of book I want to read.
You're going to learn something.
You're going to learn something.
It's got history. There's got to be a ton of lessons in there.
Audible.com/twit2. Browse around. Find your two books. Take them. You're going to love them. Jason and I guarantee it. Hey, look who's in the Skype window down here. She's all dressed in pink. It's Lisa Tickled Pink. How are you, Lisa Etheridge?
Hi, Leo. I'm good. I'm so pleased you're wearing pink today.
I wore it just for you, dear. They tell me, though, it's rose. Is that okay? Will that work?
I would have said salmon, but it works for me. Thank you.
Salmon. Okay, salmon. Is everything you do pink?
No, I do lime green, too, and blue, but mostly pink.
I love it.
Here's my phone. Oh,
so how much? Yeah, it's pink, her iPhone. So it's, let me think now. This was 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago that Kevin Rose just randomly picked you because you just joined Twitter and your first tweet was, I hate technology.
Yes, indeed. I think it was the 28th of Feb from memory and seems like a lifetime ago now.
And now your most recent tweet, I'm not leaving. How could I? I am a technology lover. I
had
love
I known
that.
You're going to read that out, I might not have tweeted it.
So what happened and I, first of all, and I have already apologized to you on Radio Whammo on Kiwi FM. I said, I'm so sorry that we didn't warn you. We didn't tell you ahead of time. We just picked you out at random. And the next morning you wake up and there's thousands of emails and people are saying, following you. And you had no idea what happened. Was it, what was that like?
It was crazy. I literally had over 2,000, 3,000 emails, and my server just said, we can't deliver anymore. So I didn't know what was going on. Someone emailed me eventually and said, look, and put the link onto your show. And, you know, so now I'm watching your show. So
thank you.
I've come a long way.
Thank you.
I'd be proud.
So tell us a little bit about you. You're a uni student, a student at the university in Auckland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Unitech in Auckland here. I'm doing a Bachelor of Product and Furniture Design, second year. I've got another year full-time to go. I'm what they call a mature student, obviously.
Well, not so obviously. What, you're 25? What, I mean, that's not...
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Something like
so
that.
So you're a returning student?
Yes, yes.
And indeed. Furniture design, what an interesting... I think that sounds great.
Yeah, well, I love furniture, but in actual fact, now that I'm doing a bit of product, I love that too. So might just see what happens after the end of, you know, my final year. It's lots of fun, and Unitech's great, and it's all their fault that I was on Twitter. So
isn't that wonderful?
It's been, Yeah, it's been great to see the social experiment, you know, from my school.
Do you know what this is, Lisa? Do you know what that is? That is...
It's a brown box.
That's a brown box. Inside that brown box, unopened, is a iPad, 16 gigabyte iPad. Now, I'm going to give you the choice. I could put some applications on here, or I could send you a... I think I have to put them on here because I bet you can't get them in the States. So why don't I load this up with some applications for you? Because you won't be in New Zealand. They won't have any of the stores.
No, that sounds awesome.
Okay.
You go for it.
You know what you need? You need OmniGraffle. If you're a designer, you need OmniGraffle. So I'll definitely put that on there. And I'll put the AutoSketch, which is AutoCAD's sketching program. We'll put that on there. Put a couple of hundred bucks.
Oh, is it on there?
Yeah, well, we'll load it up. We haven't opened it up, but we'll load it up before we send it out. And we'll send this out first thing in the morning via FedEx.
Excited.
You'll
really
be
excited.
The first person in New Zealand to have an iPad.
I'm going back to Radio Wemo.
Are you? With your iPad?
Yes, indeed. And I just I can't wait to find out who wins the draw because I hope they stay and I can follow them because I'll need their help.
You've got more than 31,000 followers right now. Easily
amazing.
Beaten Conan O'Brien's lonely, lovely toadstool or whatever it is. So you're the winner on that one. Let's see here.
We showed him, huh?
Ha! So let's see here. I have on my iPad. I'm going to try another one. This is Tweet Randomizer. This is to pick your follower of the day. We put in your Twitter, Nick, and we press the button, and it says, "I think this is going to work. Find a random follower." Are you ready, Lisa?
Oh, this is so exciting.
All right. Out of your 31 followers, let's see who's going to win that iPad. Your follower of the day is...
At Jason.
At Jason. No. Is
at
Floyd Doctorow. Floyd Norman, wacky cartoonist.
Ooh.
There he is. He says, "We've entered the age of iPad. He is your follower of the day, and he wins himself an iPad. And I want to see some cartoons, Floyd." So there's our winner. We're going to tweet him, at Floyd Norman. He's got 98 followers. He's like you, Lisa. He's, I think, new to Twitter.
Oh, well, congratulations to him. He'll be thrilled.
Wait a minute. They're all saying that's not random? Why is that not random?
Oh, you can't please 30,000 people. That's one thing I have learned on Twitter.
I certainly hope that's random. If it's not random, it's random enough. I don't know him. Do you know him?
I don't know the guy. No.
I think that's a random follower. So we're gonna say congratulations to Floyd Norman and all the people in there who say it's not random. Well, I guess it's because it wasn't you. But we'll probably do this again. Lisa, congratulations. We're gonna send you out your very own iPad.
I can't wait, Leo. Thank you. It's been lots of fun. So I just want to thank all your army for their support. They have been amazing.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. It's been really great meeting you.
And, okay, you too.
And it's 50 degrees in Auckland, New Zealand right now. Is that right?
No, this happened.
I could tell you the weather in Auckland, New Zealand. I happen to have the weather on here, and you're going to want to put this on your iPad when it arrives, at least. I know it's bedtime for you. I'm not going to keep you up any later because
It's
the morning.
10 to 12
yeah,
here.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Everybody was saying she's in bed. I said, well, I don't think so. Let's just check the weather. And the weather in Auckland, New Zealand. Oh, look at it. It's beautiful there. It's clear, 66 degrees. It's going to be 71 degrees today. Beautiful, beautiful weather in Auckland. That doesn't look like Auckland, New Zealand.
No, it doesn't. Looks like Honolulu to
looks
me.
Looks like Honolulu. But it looks like a beautiful day there. So I hope you're enjoying your day. Thank you, Lisa Etheridge. Congratulations. Thanks for playing along with us. And I think you're going to have to come visit us. We'll work that out.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to anytime. Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Lisa. Lisa Etheridge, our winner. And congratulations. I'm going to close this out. To Floyd. Now, I don't know why everybody will get that result now because that's her official follower of the day. It gets the same result every time because that's her follower of the day. It does it once a day. I'm going to go with it. Unless anybody could tell me, there's no reason to go with that. The other one was broken, Jason.
I love that Melissa Etheridge.
Isn't she adorable?
Come to my window. I mean, what's the chances you pick somebody who's an internationally known Grammy-winning...
Not Melissa, Lisa Etheridge. I should have asked her. Are you relation? Any relation?
All right. She's funny. I like her.
All right. She is adorable, and thanks to Kevin Rose for picking such a winner.
Kevin Rose has a propensity to pick beautiful women.
He has a knack. He has a knack.
He's got a knack for it.
He has a knack. But he says it's the first. I asked him. I said, come on. He says, I searched for I hate technology, and that was the first one that came up. He said, I didn't, you know, dig deep through the stack trying to find somebody cute.
Yeah.
But he did. Now, everybody's saying, well, how is she going to lose her followers now? I don't think so. I think she's actually pretty fun to follow.
Yeah.
So it's up to her now to keep those 31,000 people happy. I'm sure she can do that. Mm. Congratulations to Lisa, and congratulations also to our cartoonist, Floyd Norman, who is our... I hope that... I mean, I don't see how it could not be random. That's who we got.
You got Floyd Norman.
I mean, how could that not be random?
That's amazing. He's the American animator who worked on the Walt Disney...
No, you lie. Is that true?
People are saying in the chat room,
Floyd Norman. That he's famous?
Yeah. Floyd E. Norman... He's an American animator, worked for Walt Disney, Sleeping Beauty, Sword in the Stone, and The Jungle Book. Does this guy look like he's 75 years old?
Yeah.
Approximately?
Yeah, he says, back at Disney today after lecturing at USC.
You picked this guy. I mean, literally, look up Floyd Norman on the Wikipedia. This guy's a big
famous
deal.
Guy.
He also worked on Hey, 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 It's Fat Albert.
Twitter's an amazing thing.
Wait a second. He was involved in Pixar, Toy Story 2, and Monsters, Inc. There's some sort of fix going on. I think Steve Jobs is controlling the Twitter.
Hey, hey, hey! He probably doesn't. Hey, you know what, Floyd? If you don't want the iPad, we'll find a charity you can give it to.
You're like school on Saturday.
Hey, hey, hey! I love the iPad.
Hey, hey, hey! This iPad is amazing.
All right. Is it possible that there was a fix in there? No, I think that was random. I think that was the guy. We just happened to pick a famous guy.
It could happen.
it just happened that way. He's following Lisa. So he must have wanted it. He must be a listener, right? We have many of our listeners are
absolutely
wonderful, talented, accomplished people in many different fields, and that's just what happened. Do you think it's credible that 700... Stop that, Robert. Stop it. Look at that face.
So disturbing.
What a punum. Oh, punum only a mother could love. Do you think there's any credibility to the idea that they might have sold 700,000 in the first day? Is that possible? That's what
absolutely. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Predictions for sales in the first year.
No, I think it's very possible. The UPS trucks here were very, very busy dropping off iPads all day long. Based on what I'm seeing, I think it's very possible.
There is going to be a lot of interest in this device because of the hand feel. I think people really are... Like, it's got a major, like the iPhone, it has such major buzz around it. People are just going to get it. I picked it up and went to dinner with my wife, and we were using it in a restaurant. And literally, we had 15 people around us in the restaurant. And then we went to the movie. So as I was walking in the movie theater, I just held it up in the air. And I said, I have an iPad. it was very obnoxious, but funny. I have a video of it I have to get from my brother-in-law. But I was just walking around going, this is an iPad. This is an iPad. Would anybody like to touch it? And literally, there were 30 people around me touching the iPad. And the manager of the movie came over and said, sir, you have to stop that. And I said, stop what? He goes, you're advertising an iPad. I said, I don't work for Apple. He goes, sir, I can't have you trying to sell an iPad in here.
And
I said, I would never sell my iPad. What are you talking about? It was a fun thing. But it's got that same appeal. Remember when you... When I first got the iPhone, maybe it was sold out for a month or two. And when the first gen one came out, and I was at a poker table, and I took it out, and I go, look, I flopped an iPhone, and I put it on the table. And everybody was like, let me see the iPhone. And I was like, $5. Yeah. And people started throwing me $5 chips to hold it and play with it. It was pretty fun. I give them back, but it's got that same buzz. So this thing's going to sell millions. And I think parents are going to buy this for their kids. I think kids are going to like this more than they like an Xbox. You know, it's got more appeal than an Xbox or a PlayStation or a Nintendo.
Patrick's already said that.
Really? Yeah. You'd rather have this than an Xbox, Patrick?
Well, I'm already looking for a new thing to replace my laptop, so why can't I replace my Xbox, too?
I wonder if schools, you know, my kids' schools give them a MacBook when they matriculate, $1,000 MacBook. And I'm wondering if these schools might be looking at this as an alternative. I don't know. Is it as complete?
No. You can't replace that for school. You need a keyboard. I mean, this keyboard sucks.
I disagree.
Robert.
I haven't looked at the Pages app yet, but if it's good enough and you have the keyboard attachment, why not?
Load it up. Spend the $10.
All right, we're spending the $10.
I already bought Pages, Keynote, and iWork as many did Numbers. And, you know, it's totally usable. And I frankly like the keyboard. Although,
you have to do is
give them a $60 Bluetooth keyboard, and they got a full keyboard then.
Well, that is
true. I was just watching Patrick's been typing on the forums on the iPad. He's doing just fine.
Yeah, I mean, the keyboard's very usable, I think. I mean, I would definitely want a physical keyboard if I was going to write a paper on it. But I have a Bluetooth.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, if you're going to write two sentences, you're fine. If you're going to write over a paragraph, you're dead in the water.
What about, and maybe that's why they didn't put cameras in it, actually. What about textbooks? I imagine that all your textbooks will be on here, right?
I would love that.
That's where you'd want multitasking, because you don't want to quit the textbook to go to the word processor to come back to the textbook.
Absolutely.
So maybe you need this and a laptop.
Maybe. I mean, at least the screen's big enough. I mean, yeah.
I think, though, that, you know, let me put it this way. How much it was school books for my kids this year were over $1,500.
Yeah.
So if you could cut $500 off the cost of the books and throw in an iPad, it's a push. You cut even more off the cost of the books, I'm ahead.
Yeah. Well, let's look at what this disrupts, right? It disrupts the book industry. It disrupts the car entertainment industry, right? Because if you buy a new Toyota and you put a DVD system in there, it costs about $2,000 or $3,000 for that. Well, I can buy two iPads for the back of the car for $1,000. You're already $1,000 ahead, and you have better devices.
Interesting. A couple of other quick notes. Ed Roberts, the man who started MITS and made the first kit computer, the MITS Altair, the computer that was on the cover of Popular Mechanics magazine, the cover that so inspired Bill Gates that he and Paul Allen said, quick, this must need software. Let's write BASIC. They wrote a BASIC in simulation without access to an Altair, flew to Albuquerque, where Ed Roberts lived and where MITS was located, and sold him BASIC and began a company called Microsoft. Ed Roberts passed away this week at the age of 68 of pneumonia. It's an interesting story. He sold his company, MITS, a few years later with a five-year non-compete, got out of computers, became a physician, something he'd always wanted to do and has been practicing as a physician ever since. Apparently, Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates visited him last week on his deathbed. And in quite a moving scene. He was the guy who really made Microsoft happen and made the personal computer revolution happen. And is kind of unknown. But I think he liked it that way. I have a feeling he didn't want to be known as a pioneer. He wanted to be known as a country doctor.
Yeah, sad.
We all classy. Go.
Yeah, we all go. It's a classy move by Bill Gates. You know?
I think that's it was really touching. Let me see if I get the quote, because he was in Macon, Georgia. Bill Gates flew to his bedside. Let me see if I can find this. Ed was willing, this is on the website, thegatesnotes.com, a joint statement from Bill Gates and Paul Allen. Quote, Ed was willing to take a chance on us, two young guys interested in computers long before they were commonplace, and we have always been grateful to him. It's a cover of Popular Electronics in January 1975. Bill dropped out of Harvard. Paul Allen left his job at Honeywell, and Microsoft BASIC were born.
Amazing. Yeah, the Altair.
Ed Roberts was interviewed by the New York Times in 2001. He says, Bill Gates was a very bright kid, but he was a constant headache at MITS. you couldn't reason with him, he added. He did his things his way or not at all.
That is the that was the MO of Gates for a long time. He basically, people tell me, like, if he's in the room, it's basically like game over. You know, it's he's going to tell you what's what, and if you tell him, you know, any kind of dissenting opinion, he's going to explain exactly how wrong you are. And in 10 minutes, you're going to realize exactly how wrong you are and move on. But right. He's become a real philosopher and very enlightened, you know, in his third act, I think.
Somebody who knows Steve fairly well recently said the same thing has happened to Steve Jobs, perhaps because of his illness. Steve was as confrontational as My Way or the Highway as Bill. In fact, they're both famous for their tempers and, you know, thinking they're the smartest people in the room and you know, having no patience for fools. But like Bill Gates, who's mellowed with his retirement, they say that Steve has also become a little more zen, a little more centered, a little more focused, less likely to blow up at you. He still very firmly believes what he believes, as I'm sure Bill does. You know...
I got a chance to talk to Bill at TED, and he's just so smart. He's thinking a lot about nuclear and other kinds of energy, particularly for the third world. And he's just so smart and has such a command of the subject that he's interested in. You know, you can tell he just voraciously reads on whatever topic he's interested in, and he memorizes facts in a way that my brain doesn't memorize them. And he's able to debate and interact with people and learn from them. And I saw this go on right in the hallways. He's really a remarkable person from that aspect of it.
Well, condolences, I should say, to Ed Roberts' family. And congratulations to Floyd Norman, our winner of an iPad, and to Lisa Tickled Pink, Lisa Etheridge, who got herself an iPad for putting up with us. Thank you very much, Jason Calacanis, for being here. Happy Easter to you both. I haven't said that. And I love your pictures of London. You keep those coming.
And yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's fatherhood has been the greatest thing of my life, hands down.
Did you do – I guess she's too little to do an Easter egg hunt yet. But
too little, but we went to the park today where there was an Easter egg hunt, and it's amazing. I'm like waking up. I don't know if you had this experience when you first had kids or whatever, but waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, just to hang out with her, you know, like it's, and I spend 2 hours with her every morning when she's like the most alert, and it's like the two best hours of the day, every day.
That's so neat. It's so,
I'm totally so drunk on it.
I know how you feel.
It's just unbelievable. I like have these moments when I look in her eyes and like we're just sitting there and she starts laughing and I have this like amazing feeling of joy and contentness that I've never experienced in my life. I highly recommend everybody who's in the Twit listening audience make a baby.
Make a baby. And there is...
Or practice.
There is Robert's... Now, where'd you get this video, Robert? Is it Milan?
This is taken in the new Kelly Park in San Jose, California. They just redecorated the park to a cost of $72 million.
Wow.
And put rides in there. It's really a great place to take young kids to. And Milan just loved this roller coaster. He wants to ride it forever. So this is actually off of Flickr, which shows, again, Flickr has gone with... iPad compatible video, and so I shot this on my 5D and uploaded it to Flickr, and now you can play that video on iPad.
Isn't that awesome? And I've been looking at Floyd Norman's Twitter account. In fact, I think he probably joined Twitter to win an iPad because Lisa is his second follow, second person he followed after creating his Twitter account. So I have a feeling he's there because of it. I'm really glad Floyd won, and I hope we can get him on the show next week. I thank you all for being here. Robert Scoble is the Scobalizer. Scobalizer.com is his blog. Does Patrick have a blog he wants to plug, Robert?
I don't know.
No, not at the moment.
he has a Facebook and a MySpace page, but...
what are you going to do?
Here, hold on. I got a video for you to pull up. It's a video of the what it's like to be first in line. At the Apple Store.
I saw that. That looked like a cult.
Oh, that was awesome.
That video.
You were on CNN, right?
Oh, yeah.
Breaking through the line?
Yeah. There you go. So this is what it's like to be at the Apple Store. We waited 22 hours for that.
What fun. Yeah, we had our cameras out there, but they got tired and went home.
And in the line was a kid who wrote Chat Roulette. He stayed all night.
The kid who wrote Chat Roulette was in the Palo Alto store line? I thought he was a Russian kid.
He was there from Moscow. He went to he came to Palo Alto just to hang out in line with us. And Jason, you think your sites are incredible? He's in 3 months, Chat Roulette's gotten 20 million unique views in just the last 30 days. He showed me his Google Analytics. It's just
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Global trend. I mean,
yeah.
How are you monetizing what you do from here? I mean, that's really going to be the question. Well, but
there were two VCs, one sleeping on both sides of it. I have a feeling that somebody has a way to make money with that site.
He's the next Mark Andreessen, I think.
You know what? That's more reflective of the fact that VCs have no idea what they're doing.
And no imagination.
80% of the time.
Yeah.
And 20% having to do with what he's built, which is still significant, but venture capitalists are so unimaginative that if they just see something spike, they're like, oh, let me throw money at that.
Looks good to me. I'll take it.
Wait. Yeah. Can I see that curve one more time? Oh, the curve is going up like a hockey stick?
I'll take it.
Here's
some money.
Jason Calacanis is at mahalo.com. That's the place to go to find out. Hey, by the way, thank you for the white label. What is it? What is it? Twitquestions.mahalo.com?
Yeah, just Twit questions. Basically, we have we took our Mahalo Answers platform and we made it white labelable, so it's like sort of WordPress for Q&A sites. So it's Twit questions, which has no questions yet.
We haven't publicized it yet.
That's true. Or iPad Answers, iPad Dash Answers. I'm sorry, we have a dash in the name. It's terrible. But iPad Dash Answers is like a little vertical community just for iPad, and all those questions get syndicated back to Mahalo. But if you don't want to deal with Mahalo and all the other stuff going on there, you can just have a pure experience of answering just those questions.
That's cool.
So we're going to do it like we did one for Toyota Answers, which is just all Toyota cars. So my concept is take the Q&A platform and build it out into verticals like I did for Weblogs Inc., but have all of that content syndicate back up to a motherload database of the questions out there. So there's a big strategy to it, but I just threw this together for you.
Thank you.
To take a look at.
Thank you.
By the way, Leo, before we go, we didn't talk about accessories at all for this thing, like cases or, here's a cat stand for your iPad.
This is Veronica Belmont's stand. You just put the iPad. It does need a stand, but you just put it on your cat's butt. And, the beauty of this, because it doesn't get hot, you don't have to worry about that.
Is the cat Bluetooth enabled or no?
No, but it does have a USB port.
Hey-o!
All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. First time we've had an earthquake live on Twit. Thanks to Shani Jardin, also at boingboing.net. We'll see you next week. I am Leo Laporte. Another Twit is in the can.
Doing the Twit. Doing the Twit.
Let's go around.